Since we have kind of just a change in who is speaking this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to share some of the testimonies that happened at camp. And so I think I'll have Ed come up and kind of start off with maybe if he wanted to share some testimony or if he knew of anyone else that wanted to share. But youth, if you have a testimony you want to share, you know, something that happened at camp, please, this would be an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Natalie
You can't talk. You lost your voice because of singing so low. Dee, why don't you come up with me? I got to throw. I want to be all by myself here. Jeez. You know, we had a great week at camp. You get back and you're really tired and you run down and you're sore everywhere, but you think about all the things that happened and all the blessings we had. Even though when I was gone, some of my fairies in the fairy garden got a little carried away. I don't know where the toilet came from in my front yard. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that was all fairy related. And there's a really small one back there next to Mike. I think she's one of the larger fairies. if you have questions about that, just imagine, it's pretty funny. But I have a toilet in my front lawn. Huh?
We got pictures sent to us at camp.
There was an anchor that sent us during the evening news in the morning. No, the morning news in the evening. Morning news in the evening. I'll get that straight. Morning news in the evening that sent. It was a reporter. I think she was a fairy reporter. And I'm not sure why she was talking into a spoon, but. It's pretty funny. Maybe we'll show that video sometime.
I don't know. If anybody needs clothespins, my flowers seem to be growing clothespins.
Yeah.
I don't know how my gardens are doing that, but it's
I'm glad it's working.
Pretty amazing.
So now you got an
outhouse? It's really out there in the front lawn.
But it says no dumping on it. So. No. All jokes aside. Yes, we had a great time of fun, a great time of laughter and games and sports events that Ed couldn't do because I'm too old and I get hurt easily. But there is, we have youth group here every Wednesday. We get together and we have a great group of youth. We have a great group here. But then we go to camp, and we need to spread it. One of the things we talk about in there was what? Don't be a peach, be a what?
Pomegranate.
What does it mean to be a pomegranate?
What's a peach? First of all.
Yeah, what's a peach have? Peach has one seed in it. What's a pomegranate have? Has multiple seeds.
It's all seeds.
So we need to... We need to evangelize and we need to spread. You know, the love that we have amongst our youth is tremendous. I know a lot of you know that, but we have a great bunch of youth here. A great bunch. We have a great church, and to be able to go out there and spread it to some that are not as fortunate. When we started going there, you have a lot of the. The youth are there. Some are really not talking. They're really secluded. I remember a couple girls saying, "Wow, we really don't want to be here," and they were just not in a good place. There's not. They don't have the church surrounding the family that we have here. You guys seen it, I'm sure. But after. Day or
Tuesday,
two?
Already on Tuesday.
Already on Tuesday, we had.
They had accepted the Lord and
yeah, the two
were right in the middle. The two that were saying, on Monday that they didn't want to be here.
And I know there was one more guy that did too. A lot of things given to God, sins that they were doing, they went forward on the second day. And we had a good time mentoring them throughout.
Candy had, Cassie, had 10 kids in her cabin, and 4 of them accepted the Lord, and 3 of them made rededications, I think was how it went. So was that, and that was just one cabin, so.
That was just one cabin, yes.
But the first night, or the first evening, Kyle Goings was our speaker. He is the youth pastor from Kansas, I believe.
Someplace in Kansas, yeah. Originally from Rapid City, South Dakota, which, you know, but from Kansas, yeah.
So he shared his story with us the first night and just encouraged the kids to share their own stories amongst each other in their small groups.
And he talked about being resilient, which is the ability to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions, which sometimes that's hard to do. But we, through God, we can do that. And then, of course,
He compared his story to the story of Daniel from the book of Daniel, how he was kind of taken. Daniel was taken from the Jewish culture when they were overcome by King Nebuchadnezzar and taken into Babylon and forced to serve as a servant in Babylon. And they were given different names. Daniel's name was Belshazzar. Somebody probably knows that. I don't know. And his friends, who also had Hebrew names but went by in Babylonia as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so he kind of talked about how they kept on, they continued to be resilient in their faith and believing in God even through captivity and slavery. And so hopefully none of us.
And then it was embrace the awkward. I mean, this man, how many t-shirts did this man bring to camp? I can't imagine what a suitcase looked like, right? I mean, this guy had a t-shirt for everything. So one of them was embrace the awkward. And no, that wasn't all everybody coming up and hugging me because I'm awkward.
But yeah, sometimes being a Christian means we are awkward, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And we just embrace that and go on with it.
Embrace it. That's right. It doesn't mean we have to just go along with it, with the crowd. Yeah.
So Tuesday morning, we really talked about the awkward. There was a video about a man at a music festival who just started randomly dancing. And
come on, guys. Oh, you see.
Yeah. And there was, eventually there was one person who joined him. And after that, many people came up and joined him. So we talked about being the first follower, how hard it is to be not only the one who starts the movement, but the one who steps up first and joins them. And generally after that first follower goes, then it's a swamp of people. And eventually the video showed people all over the whole festival that were dancing awkwardly and having a great time with it.
But that's how we can share our faith. Sometimes it may feel awkward. Sometimes it may feel strange to go up to somebody and explain why you're giddy and why you have a smile on your face and why you can withstand some of the hard times. But then,
how you can be the first follower.
How you can be the first follower. And sometimes the first follower is even more important than
the starter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the next.
It becomes less awkward. Yeah. As if you would have jumped up here and start dancing with me when I was doing it.
It would have been less awkward.
I know. I didn't dance long enough.
Tuesday evening was tough. Kyle talked about the crucifixion and his resurrection, or his interpretation of how this would have happened. I mean, growing up Catholic, I saw, the Jesus on the cross multiple times, but you don't think about how he actually suffered and how even more than a criminal's death, he was beaten before he was crucified. And so he sustained
Now, even some of us have seen the Passion of Christ and how that was, and how that movie was. But many of us did. Many of the youth have not seen that. So he really explained it in detail of what Christ went through, the humiliation,
And he asked the kids to come forward, and at that point, so that was new to us. Having an altar call on Tuesday was really special and really different, and we could share and feed into those kids that accepted Christ the rest of the week. And they still had multiple opportunities later on, but that was a new experience for me. So that was fun. And we really talked about, Ed and I prayed with a couple of kids who wanted to pray for their families, for people in their families that were undergoing difficult situations, or for unsafe family members, or just family members that were in a lot of sin.
Yeah, some were dealing with drugs, dealing with this, that, and really wanted to get out of it, and wanted to get out of that. And they wanted to change their life. And that was a great evening.
And once again, encouraging kids to share their testimony. Ed shared his testimony on Tuesday night. Tuesday night rained. Wednesday night, around the campfire, and was able to connect with quite a few of the kids during that time. So, and Wednesday morning was like step on your toes time.
Oh yeah. Talking about counterfeit Christians, and and all of us have probably been in at least one, or if not multiple,
probably all of them.
Probably all of them at one point. And it's like Mr. Two-Face, live one way at church and then another way at home.
Then there's Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes. She never gets in trouble. She isolates herself completely from unchurched people, and she brags about her godly friendships. And that person has no impact on the world. Yeah. They're not a true Christian in that they...
Or you have, I'm just here for the party. Dude who only goes to church for and socializing in games.
As soon as worship comes up, they have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. So there's the complainer. They always find something wrong with the game, with the message, some person. We're all there sometimes.
That's a hard heart.
Yeah.
Then we have a drama queen.
They're always in crisis. They constantly need attention. They gossip. They make trouble just so that they can get help.
Then you have Insta-Christian, who projects to be a Christian online, but in real life there is no connection with Jesus.
So that person who, they have their whole table set up so that it looks perfect when they are doing their devotions, and they take their picture of it and they post it on Instagram. You have that person too. Like I'm saying, we've all been there. Sorry.
And so realistically, it'd be like over the top of a desk of work, and there's a Bible sitting there, and maybe flipped open and come back to it later. That's more realistic, right? I mean, but you see those that are just perfect? Not me.
But there's the know-it-all. They have all the head knowledge of the Bible, but they don't really have a heart relationship or a heart knowledge with Jesus. And then there's the...
Show-it-all. He is a performer who only does Christian stuff when people can see him.
Overcompensates.
Make up for the lack of faith in Jesus.
So he talked about that and how that's a struggle for everyone, and we all
we all have these struggles. I can laugh about them and talk about them, whatever. But we all have struggles with this, and it's about being real. Try to be real with your Christianity, and we all have our struggles.
So what's the important thing? How do you become the real deal? Can you guys remember? No? It's your relationship. It's your relationship with Christ. I mean, all of these things might be what you look like, but what's important is...
Sticking to God like you're what? What was that? Say it a little louder.
Cling to God like... Cling to God like underwear.
Cling to God like your underwear. It's really funny, but that's close. That's close.
So, and remember that, David was an adulterer. Saul had a mental illness. people have problems, and God loves them. David was a man after his own heart. So even when we screw up, we can still go to God and return to our faith. So that is, yeah. So that was Wednesday evening. We talked about, you know, getting our relationship in tune with God. Then we talked about perspective and how sometimes all that's all you need is to change your perspective. And even though we talked a lot about Daniel being in the lion's den that night, and how he couldn't see anything, it was dark and he didn't know what was going on. The lions hadn't eaten in probably since the last time somebody was sent into the lion's den, whenever that was. And he remained faithful to God through all that, and he kept his perspective even though he wasn't able to see or to know what was going on. So,
yeah. Kyle was a really good speaker. He did have a sword there, and swinging his swords and swinging, cutting fruit in half in midair. And he wanted me to get closer as I pitched the fruit to him, and I said, no. You know, there's the amount of faith that you can have, but faith in a guy swinging a sword, that's probably not it. You know?
So, yeah, we talked about excuses that people use not to evangelize or tell other people about Jesus. And we've all used, sadly, we've all used all of these. Hey, we hire a pastor, and that's his job.
It's
not my responsibility to share about Jesus. Sometimes we say we're too busy to tell somebody about Jesus.
These are the fruit that he just slashes right out of the air.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm afraid there won't be they won't like me afterwards, or they'll be mean to me. How many people think it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna share my faith with this person, and now then they're not gonna like me. I think generally people like genuine people. But we've all, I don't know, I've had that before where you talk to someone and they think of you differently, or they think that you're kind of weird or something like that. But then later on when things happen in life, they come to you for help. And so I guess it's worth it in that way, to be awkward, because deep down I'm pretty sure that most of the people realize that, you know, it's not just about the party.
Yep. And the next one was real. I don't know how to. But if you don't know how to share, we got apps. We've got booklets.
There's an app. I'm going to get that app.
Yeah. There are lots of ways to learn how. So if you don't know how to share about Jesus, look us up. We'll find a way.
Or I'm too messed up to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm too messed up myself. I have to get myself straight. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you can get yourself straight by telling the word of Jesus. And, you know, it's like kind of like leading the youth group. We get thrown into it 30-some years ago. Fresh Christians. And you learn as you go. You learn about everything.
Yeah.
Yep. And you learn together.
And some people will claim that they don't know any non-Christians. You're in the wrong place because they're everywhere. If you go to the grocery store, you see a non-Christian. If you go to the gas station, you see a non-Christian. They're all over. Not a good excuse.
Or I've tried, but no one will listen. Nobody listens anyway.
The best hitter in baseball has a .369.
Who do you think that is?
I don't remember who it was.
I do.
Do you? Okay. Good.
Everybody thinks it's Babe Ruth. No, it's Ty Cobb. So in other words, he only hit the ball
one time out of
one time.
Three times out of 10 or something like that.
Three times out of 10 is the only time he hit the ball. Yeah. So in other words, he missed more than he hit the ball. So
if you failed once,
yeah,
you got, you know, a few more coming up.
That's right. So I think we had a, and if you want a full rundown of what this is like, Tashia is going to do that. I'm going to do that Wednesday to our youth group.
Is she really?
Now we'll take it out to whoever else wants to share.
Thank you for your support for the youth and for the Foston camp, because there was lives changed.
So thank you.
I'm going to be sharing a little bit here myself and be reading some scripture, but did want to give an opportunity. Any of the volunteers or kids want to say something quickly, testimony or something quickly about camp? No takers? All right. All right. Well, you got it all. You got it all. Well, kind of one of the themes for both senior and junior camps was Another in the Fire. And they went through, both of them went through Daniel some. And if you don't know, Ed and Dee are like the senior camp directors. So thank you, Ed and Dee, for all you do with that. And junior camp is where I hung out most of this week. But I wanted to just read a little bit of scripture. Even though they had different speakers and different messages, a lot of the theme in Daniel, Another in the Fire, was actually a picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went into the fiery furnace. There was more than three that were in there. So Another in their Fire. If you want to turn with me or read up on the screen, I'll be looking at Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Daniel 3, 8 through 15. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?'" Hard times. These three men have served the Lord. Early on, they obeyed God by not eating certain foods, certain meats. They obeyed God by not bowing down and worshiping this golden image or golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they refused to worship the other gods that were worshipped in that place. But now they are in a hard time. They are given one last opportunity. Bow and worship. But they know that if they do not bow and worship, they're going immediately into the fire. That's some hard times. That's a hard decision. You know, when you think about it, these were officials that served in I don't know, under Nebuchadnezzar. They served. And Nebuchadnezzar is furious that these officials were We're being a negative example. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have to trust God during this time. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." At camp, we're using a different translation, submit to Him. But that's what they are to do, to trust in the Lord with all their heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't know what was going to happen. They knew that if they didn't bow down, that Nebuchadnezzar was going to throw them into the fire. But they didn't know what God would do. But they trusted Him. The furnace is not something anyone would want, but they needed to trust. A trust that goes beyond, this is a trust that goes beyond, is God real? They can believe He's real, but this is a trust that God is really with them. Oftentimes we find ourselves holding back from fully trusting God. And here's a question that was brought up for a couple of days, is what keeps us from fully trusting God? If you were in this that very same place, what would keep you from fully trusting Him? We talked with a number of kids about trusting God, and some of them came up with different answers of why it's hard to trust God. And these are junior campers. Senior, I'm sure, have a lot more that could say, but maybe it was an unanswered prayer that they had prayed and it seemingly God didn't answer it. Maybe it was something that happened to a family member that was tragic. Maybe it was something that happened to them individually, deeply hurt. Things that make it difficult to fully trust God. And trusting like that can be difficult. But to fully trust and to fully lean on the Lord is where we need to be, because God is our Creator. He's created all things. I have a few passages here that I probably am not going to read. Well, I'll put them up on the screen. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful to me. I know that full well." When we look at trusting God, these are some passages that help us get a picture of why we can trust Him. Everything was created by Him. You know, we may not understand everything, especially Isaiah. We may not understand everything like God does, but God's got it figured out. And you are not, and I, we're not accidents. Yeah, for some, our parents may not have expected that we were coming, but none of us are accidents. We are all created by God. Knit together in our mother's womb. It's interesting when you look at it that way, that we can trust God because it's all His. Or it's all Him that brought it together. But let's read on in Daniel. Verse 16, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, We want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made the decision. They are not. They're not going to fluctuate. They are going to trust God. Even if God does not save them, they will not worship. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not conform to the ways of Nebuchadnezzar. Romans 12:2 was something that we looked at. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It might have been easy for them to just bow down and maybe even think, I'll repent of it later. And I'm sure many of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's friends probably did just that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not. And they chose not to follow the pattern of this sinful world. And they knew that walking in God's ways isn't always going to be easy. Again, they thought that their decision would result in them being thrown into the furnace. And I'm sure they prayed and hoped that God would rescue them. But they understood that it might not happen. God can, but it might not. And in Romans 8:28, and we know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. This is probably one of a more difficult verse to share, especially with young campers. How do you get this concept across that, yes, bad things happen that hurt us. Bad things happen in our family. Bad things happen. But at the same time, when we're trusting God, we know that He can turn what's bad, what was intended for bad or what was intended for evil, God can turn it for the good. We trust God with everything, and we hope that even in our times of suffering, that God will turn it around and use it for something special. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they die in the furnace, could God use that for good? Absolutely He could. But He didn't. So I'm going to read on Daniel, just because we got to read the end of the story here. We got to read the rest of it. We can't leave it. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's because they stood up to him. He's never been told no. Or when he's told no, they're usually getting executed. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was furious. And his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent that the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." See, there's a change there. The Most High God. He says, "Come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." I like this next part here. "They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." It's trust. Some versions will say that King Nebuchadnezzar saw the Son of Man walking around in there. The fourth person in the fire was Jesus. This is before he came in earthly form. Jesus showed up, and we're told over and over that when we love and trust the Lord, Jesus will be with us through everything. We might have our own trials, hardships, and tragedies, but when we trust Jesus, he will be with us through them. He might not save us from hardships, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew he might not save them from that fire, but at the same time, because of their faith and trust, they trusted that God would save them. Maybe not from this physical earth, but he would save them, and that's what we look forward to. He gives us salvation for an eternity when we love and trust and follow him. Jesus showed up when he went to the cross to save us. I just have two more verses I wanted to share, and then I'll close. But "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are saved by grace. It's a gift of God. We simply have to put our trust and live for him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they put their trust in God. They didn't waver. They followed the Lord. And then as we receive the salvation, you know, we have something that we are to do. As Ed talked about the peach and pomegranate, a little different in the junior camp, but Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And that's what we are to do. Share the Lord. And it's amazing to see that out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's obedience in just one thing, to not bow, changed the course of that King Nebuchadnezzar, an evil man, because they chose not to go the easy route. They chose to follow God. That Nebuchadnezzar now knew who the real God is, not some golden statue that he had made. But it's awesome. I love it.